Please be turning in your Bibles to Joshua. We're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through to 9. Me and the teenagers were actually looking through this section this morning. We were looking at the art of biblical meditation. It was a real blessing to us. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
A pleasant morning again to every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are here with us worshiping the Lord. And now it's time to open the Word of God. We thank God for the opportunity we have, the freedom we have to just open the Word and study it together. And so, dearly beloved, please take your Bibles with you this morning. We will be studying it. This is our textbook. This is what we open up and we meditate on every time we gather here in a worship service. So please open it up to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Our dear brother Carlo read the passage to us this morning. And so let's go to that and let's read it again. And we need to be careful that we read it and we study it, yes, and we look at this passage from the perspective of the context of the Word of God, what happened to Joshua. But at the same time, we must understand that this was written for our admonition. That's what Paul says. So, yes, we look at the story and we look at what happened to Joshua and how God used Joshua and challenged Joshua. But as we read it, we also ask the Lord, Lord, what are you going to challenge me with this morning from your word? What are you going to teach me? How are you going to mold me and change me into the servant you want me to be? So that will be the stance of our hearts this morning, my brothers and sisters. So the word of God tells us in Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, you are the author of this book. And these words we're reading are wonderful words of life. They're alive and they're sharper than any two-edged sword. So I pray, Lord, take that sword, take this sword, pierce our hearts, show us the sinfulness of our beings, and change us into your holy being. I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in the ministry of your word today. Bless not only your servant, but also your people, as we all just enjoy the feasting of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we dive into this passage this morning, let us not forget the context that we discussed the last time we had this passage preached to us as well. First sermon from this passage. This is the second sermon now, but the first context is the death of Moses. We see it in the very first verse. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, here we see this is a very crucial time in the lives of the people of God. The great leader of Israel dies. And that's what we realize in this passage, even last time, that servants of God come and go. But the Lord uses more servants, other servants, as he goes along in working out his plan. And that's the second context, the duty of Joshua. So that it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he raises up, he challenges us, he commissions Joshua to be the next leader of Israel. And the third context here, we must understand, is the delivery of the land. Verses 2 and 4 tells us that Joshua and the people of God had something important to do. And that is to conquer the land, because God is going to give it to them. Now, we may say this morning, well, that's their story. That was Moses, that was Joshua, that was the delivering of the land to them. What is it for me? Well, we must understand, dearly beloved, that we are also in this specific time of our lives where God calls us to be his servants. Yes, we are all his servants, just like Moses, just like Joshua. And yes, we might not have the same exact challenge and commission to conquer a land. But we must never forget that we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he said in Matthew chapter 28 that we have a world to reach out. We have the gospel to preach and we have people to disciple. That's what our duty is. And so as we dive into this passage, dearly beloved, this morning, let's ask this question. What did God require Joshua as his servant as he commissioned him during his time? And ask the second question, what does God require of me today as his servant, as his disciple, as I am called to make disciples of all nations, as a church, as a light? What does he require? Well, two truths this morning, dearly beloved, two important truths from the life of Joshua here that we can learn and we can apply today as we serve the Lord. The first truth is the challenge to be strong and be courageous. Look at verse number 6. The words of God here to Joshua says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Courage. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to be courageous? What did God mean to Joshua when he said those words? Well, I look at the original Hebrew words of these words that we have here. First, be strong. It means to fasten up. It's like you're wearing a belt and you want to fasten it up for obvious reasons, right? It means to be established. It's the opposite of being wobbly. So God wanted you to fasten up, to be established, to be secure, just like how Joshua was fastened up, was established, was secure. And when he said to Joshua, be courageous, God meant that Joshua is to be alert, Joshua is to be physically or mentally strengthened. He means that Joshua needs to strengthen himself. And that's exactly what he wants us to do as well today, as Christians, as servants. We need to be alert. We need to be physically and mentally, and if I may add, spiritually alert, to strengthen ourselves spiritually for the task ahead of us. So if I may summarize here, this means, these two phrases, be strong and be courageous, means that God requires service from his servants, from us, with a resolute mind, with a strong will, and with a passionate heart. Wouldn't you say that these three things really would encompass what it means to be strong and to be courageous? When we're serving God today, we must have that resolute mind. We are decided. It's like a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It means also you have a strong will. That we are not wobbly, that we are not going forward and then backwards a bit and then quitting in the middle. And that also we have a passionate heart, that we don't lose that passion, that fire to serve the Lord. Dearly beloved, to be strong and be courageous is the opposite of a weak spirit, which easily quits in every difficulty, in every circumstance, in every struggle and trial. You quit. That's the opposite. We must not give in to delaying, disobeying, playing around, wasting time. We must not have the spirit of fear. When the Lord is leading you forward into his ministry, into his service, now whatever it may be this morning, you may be serving in Awana, you may be serving in Teens for Christ, you may be serving the technical aspect of the worship, you may be serving in many other ways. Listen, the encouragement of God here this morning, and even to Joshua during his time, is never give in to withdrawing or retreating. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Take away uncertainties, fears, and apprehensions, because these weaken the heart and the ministry that God had given to you. This is so important that God tells Joshua to be strong and be courageous, dearly beloved, not once, not twice, but three times. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, look at your Bibles, only be strong and very courageous. And then again in verse number 9, he says to Joshua, again in verse number 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Three times, very important command. The Lord had also said this to Joshua through Moses when Moses was still alive. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, open your Bibles there. It's a couple of pages before Joshua chapter 1. You'll find Deuteronomy there. Look at verse 6 to 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Here, God tells Joshua through Moses' lips, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with his people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So, dearly beloved, important truth here, challenge here. Because the Lord understands there are a lot of things that we as human beings can be afraid of. There's a lot of things that will cause us to get dismayed, to be discouraged, and to quit serving the Lord. There are a lot of things that can just dampen our spirit, dampen our passion. So that's why the Lord God told Joshua, and it tells us today, be strong and be courageous. Now, but there's another important thing here we must understand. He, Joshua, and us, we need to be strong and be courageous. But it's not about us that we can be courageous, that we can be strong. It's not about our tactics. It's not about our abilities. It's not about our wisdom. It's not about our power. It's not about our connections. It's not about our human will. It's not about our talent. It's about God's presence in us, as the presence of God in Joshua was. You can see that, those words, I will be with you, over and over and over again. In other words, dearly beloved, the servant of the Lord is to be strong and courageous because that reflects the very character of God who indwells him. In other words, we can be strong. We can be courageous as we serve God because we know God is here. My brothers, my sisters, if you're discouraged this morning in your ministry, don't forget God is in you. Don't forget God dwells within you. Listen, the work of the Lord is not for the weak, but to those who are strong. That's why if you look at the New Testament, please open with me a couple of passages here to the words of the Apostle Paul. He also encourages us today three times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the same exact words as if Paul is echoing, re-echoing what Moses said to Joshua, what God has said to Joshua. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. This is what he told the Corinthian believers. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, says Paul to the Corinthian believers. And it does us that today. Now he also encourages the Ephesian believers. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, talking about that we are servants of God and we are in a war and we are not fighting against flesh and blood, right? So he tells them, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because we know our enemy right now is doing his best to discourage us, to make us fearful to continue serving the Lord, especially in the middle of this pandemic. But Paul tells the Ephesian believers, and he tells us today, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't be scared to serve the Lord today. Don't be scared of the virus. Don't be scared of the situation of Australia today. Move on to greater service. And he also tells Timothy this, the young pastor, his disciple. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Let's open our Bibles there, please, dearly beloved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son. Now, of course, Timothy wasn't his biological son. Timothy was his spiritual son. He tells him, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful reminder for us today. We have his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can be strong in the Lord. Now, I may have hinted with this already, but the second question is, the first question a while ago, what does it mean, right? What does it mean to be strong and be courageous? But the second question is, why is it required? Why is it required? Because it is important as we face the task before us, because the task is daunting. To be honest, the task before us is challenging. As a church, we have been giving this great commission. It's overwhelming sometimes, dearly beloved. Do you understand me? Do you get me? It's overwhelming. Make disciples of all nations. How can I do that? I'm just here, a simple man, a simple woman. We are a small church on this mountain, and we have the entire mountain region to reach out. We have the entire Sydney to make disciples. We have the entire New South Wales, entire country of Australia, the entire world. Do you feel the challenge there? The task is daunting. Yes, it is. That's why God tells us to be strong and courageous. Just like Joshua was given the work to lead God's people into the promised land where they need to defeat, to destroy, and drive out the great peoples who live there. We have been commanded as well with a very important and, yes, difficult task. No easy task for them. As we go back to Joshua chapter 1, it was no easy task. And ours is no easy task as well, dearly beloved. I'm not going to sugarcoat to you this morning our task. God knows the big task, that great work that he has given to us. And he was already telling Joshua that it was going to be hard. He was telling Joshua, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. That's why he needs to be strong and courageous. And this is what God is telling us today. The task is daunting. So you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. A life of service to the Lord is full of hardships, difficulties, dangers, trials, temptations, struggles, disappointments, oppositions. There's even one friend who would tell me that the best place to be disappointed with and to be discouraged in is in the ministry. Be involved in the ministry, and for sure, that will be the best place to get discouraged. But we need to be strong in the Lord. This is not an option. This is a command. I remember, dearly beloved, many times in my ministry in the past, there are many times that I easily get discouraged. You know, a fellow minister who will no longer join the ministry, it's very discouraging, right? Quits in the middle of the term, preaches in the middle of the year. Choir members not showing up. And I was a music director. They committed, but they did not show up. You know, and ministries don't move forward. But oh, many times along the way, God reminded me, Jan, don't give up. Jan, don't be discouraged. Jan, be strong. Jan, be courageous. The ministry is daunting. Yes, but I'm with you. So be strong and of a good courage, dearly beloved. Be strong. Be courageous. The second challenge that God gave to Joshua during his time of service to God, and he does give to us as well today, is to observe to do the law. To observe to do the law. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. And now we're in verses 7 to 8. God tells Joshua, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Observe to do the law. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does this second requirement for Joshua means? To observe to do the law. Well, simply put, let me summarize this in one sentence. God was telling Joshua that he must become a man of the word. And he's telling us today as well, we must be men and women of the word. The word of God must be of the utmost priority in our lives. Now, for Joshua, this means that he must put the word of God as a priority in his life, that it must be his guide. The word of God must be his creed, his very life, to do the law. Now, of course, the law that he was referring to was the first 5 books of the Bible. That was the only written law that was available to him. The Pentateuch, the law, the Torah that Moses wrote. But for us today, of course, it is this book, the Bible. We must be men and women of this book. Now, there are 3 things that we must understand as far as this passage is concerned about how to observe to do the law. First is, we must obey the word, the law. Joshua must obey it. We must obey it. Look at verse 7, the second part of it. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Those are the words that would tell us we must obey the word. That you may observe, that phrase, that you may observe in Hebrew means to put a hedge about. That is to guard. You have to guard or protect. Now, here in our house, we have a few things that we put around Isla, you know, to protect her from going to the section of the house that are more dangerous for her. So we put like pillows around her, kind of like that. And that's the concept here, okay? You put a hedge that is to guard or to protect. So what does it mean in relationship to the word of God? So the servant of God must be careful to guard the word of God in our lives so that we obey all of it. Look at the words there that God says, that you may observe to do according to all the law. Not some of the law, a few things in the law, not just my favorite parts of the law, but all of the law. As God's servants, we can nick and pick and pick and choose what we want to obey. We are commanded to obey everything in God's word. That's why we are encouraged to read the entire word of God so that we know what God tells us to do in its entirety. And it says here, obey, yes, you must observe all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So there's a specific body here of ordinance that God was referring to. And I said a while ago, it's the Torah. That's what Moses told him to obey. And for us today, it's the Bible. Yes, we read other books. Yes, we read books written by other pastors, other Christians. And hopefully we choose the right ones, right? But we must be careful to read the Bible the most. So that's what it means. We must obey the word. But secondarily, it also means we must focus on the word. Look at the third part of the verse 7. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Focus on the word. Joshua tells the Lord, focus on the word. Do not turn from it. You're going to turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, stay on the path of the word. Focus there. God knew that Joshua would be exposed to the teachings, to the belief systems, to the philosophies, and to the religions of the heathen in the promised land. That's why he commanded Joshua to focus on the word. Joshua, don't look there. Don't look there. Look here, where the word is. Read it, obey it, and focus there. That means, dearly beloved, for us today, our lives, our ministry, our church, our dealings must focus on the word. This must be our guide. That's what we say as Baptists. This must be our guide for faith and practice. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, one of my favorite verses says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you. It's a concept of like letting it dwell here. Focus there. But not only obey the word, focus on the word, but thirdly, we must meditate on the word. Look at verse number 8a. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, dearly beloved, what does it mean to meditate? Because we have the two parts here in the verse. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, shall always be in your mouth. And then number two, meditate in it day and night. Well, meditation has been carried along by other religions as well, and they've been using that term as well. But what does the word of God say? What does God say about authentic biblical meditation? I'd like to share with you here what one biblical scholar said about meditation. Authentic meditation then is not some exercise which other religions do, right? They sit down and like they put their hands like that and say, whatever, and chant. And then they try to tell you to empty your mind. That is not what meditation in the biblical sense means. Authentic meditation then is not some exercise wherein we empty our minds and expunge all desires in order to achieve some kind of mystic experience or melding with the transcendent. In the biblical worldview, rather, meditation is to consider and ponder the word of God. It is the repetition of the text to ourselves, the rereading and the reading of a passage so that its meaning might take root. To keep God's law from departing out of the mouth refers to the audible repetition of scripture, which is in turn a reference to the reading of the text, the reading of the Bible. Since ancient people always verbalized the text before them when they read. Now, you know what? One thing I realize and I read is that silent reading to oneself is a recent development. In the past, I always read the Word of God audibly. Such reading and rereading help ensure the text is not forgotten. So this is what it means, that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You speak of it. You say it. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it says, right, whether you're lying down or you're rising up, whatever you're doing, you're speaking the Word of God. You're telling yourself what it says in the Word of God. That's how you meditate it. The reading and the rereading of a passage will take root into our lives if we do that. One pastor says studying the depths of God's Word is important, but at times we can walk away from such study and not remember much of what we have read. Meditating on the text helps get it in our souls so that we might never forget what it teaches. Therefore, dearly beloved, for Joshua, for us today, we are servants, right? Servants of God who meditate on the Word of God cannot but naturally speak of its priceless truths. In other words, show me a man or a woman who meditates on the Word of God and he says their day and night, not just morning, not just evening, but morning and evening, and I will show you a man or a woman who would speak of them constantly. When you ask a counsel, he will give you the Word of God. When he asks for a prayer, she will pray for you, even using the words of God. When something is wrong in the family, what comes out of the mouth? The Word of God. When the church is in turmoil, what comes out of the mouth? The Word of God. Because you meditated. And it's here, it will come out there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But let me remind you as well that the enemy of meditation is busyness. Show me a man, a woman who is always just running around doing a lot of things in a short time, being busy. And I know being busy is important for our work, for our jobs, right? And that is important. That is important. I'm not saying you can't be busy with your work, but if you don't prioritize, if you don't set aside specific and hurried time in the Word of God, meditate upon it, and you let busyness creep into your life and your family's life, and you don't give time for meditation with your wife, with your children, listen. The Word of God will not take root in your life, in the lives of your children. That's why we need to read the Word, and we read the Word and speak of it audibly and meditate on it day and night. My brother, my sister, may I ask you today, how is your time with the Word? We have been in our houses all these past weeks and months. This week, it's been raining. What have you been doing? Oh, I hope you have been extending time with the Word, meditating it. And speaking of it, memorizing it. Now, why is it required, really? You know, some people say it's boring. Reading of the Bible, like, come on. I have other things that is more important to do. But why is it important? Why is it required here by God? Look at verse number 7 again. Second part, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. And look at verse number 8. Second part, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Did you hear those words, dearly beloved? What God is saying is this, the success of Joshua's God's servant is dependent on his obedience and focus and meditation on the Word of God. And that's where our success also lies, on our obedience, on our focus, and our meditation on the Word of God. How different and even how opposite from the world's definition of true prosperity and success. For the world, true success, true prosperity is about having lots of money, having lots of properties, having a good position in the community, in your company, and you have all of these titles in your name, and you seem to be important in the society, you travel around, you have all of these things in your house, it's so precious. For the world, that's the definition of success. But for God, it's not that. for God, your success, my success, is only simply dependent on how we obey the word. If we have been obeying him and meditating on his word and having the word take root in our lives. So this morning, that's a good question for us to ask. In God's view, am I a successful man? Am I a successful woman? Am I a successful teenager? Teenager, oh yeah, there's a lot of other definitions as well of success as a teenager. And I was a teenager, you know. Everybody wanted to belong to a group. Everybody wanted to be a varsity member. Everybody wants to be in a political position in a high school. No, you want to be famous. You want to be known. You want to blend in. But that's not the way of success for God. As a teenager, listen. The success that God wants you to have in your life is to just be obedient in his word. And therefore, I conclude this morning with two important reminders. First is the authority of God. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Well, out of this words that God has been speaking to Joshua from verse number 2 to verse number 8, God asks Joshua a very important question. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? What is God doing here? Why did God ask a question here to Joshua? Well, God is just trying to remind Joshua that he has authority over Joshua's life. Have I not commanded you this, Joshua? Sometimes, you know, a question can really drive a point home. You know, it's almost like, and what are you doing with your life, young man? You know, if your parents sees you and you're doing that in your life. Just to a point, Joshua, have I not commanded you? In other words, Joshua, I have authority over your life. And God today is also saying he has authority over us, over our lives. That's why we need to be courageous, we need to be strong, and we need to obey the word of God. Jesus has direct orders for us today as well. Look with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. We're almost done here, dearly beloved. Romans 10, 8 and 9. Here are the words of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 8 to 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The authority of Jesus Christ in our lives today is that we must preach the word of God. Because that is how God will save souls. That's how we got saved, when we heard the preaching of the word of God. So the preaching of the word of God has authority over us. And also it's our challenge for our life today. 2 Corinthians 4:5, dearly beloved. Let's jump there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. See there, we are just bondservants. We are just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we have no authority. When you're listening to this sermon this morning, when I'm listening and preaching here, I cannot say, oh, I'm above that. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't want to submit to that. No. Jesus has authority over us because we are just servants. Colossians 3:24. The word of God tells us, knowing that, let's just read verse 23 first. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve the Lord Christ. We are just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm speaking to you, dear husband. I'm speaking to you, dear wife. I'm speaking to you, teenagers, mothers and fathers, church leaders, pastors, fellow workers in the Lord. We are just servants of the Lord. God has authority over us. And therefore, to be strong and courageous is not an option. That's a command. And therefore, to obey the word of God is not an option. It's a command. So it's the authority of the word of God over us. Have I not commanded you? But the second truth that we need to end up with tonight, this morning, I mean, is the admonition of God. What is the admonition of God to Joshua? And what is the admonition to us today? Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Now we are in verse number 9. The word of God tells us, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. That is the admonition. Afraid here, the word here, afraid, means to dread or to fear, to shake terribly. And dismayed here means to prostrate, hence to break down by confusion and fear and be discouraged. The admonition here, dearly beloved, today then is this. Don't let fear or discouragement creep into your life. Don't let anything in life break you down to make you fearful, to make you confused, to make you discouraged. Don't let it. Don't let it. You need to be strong and be courageous. Don't let it. God knew that there will be tons to be fearful about, to be confused about, and to be discouraged about, especially when you serve God. God knows that's why He commands us this. He commands us this. And God knows that these things can cripple and paralyze us, render us ineffective as His servants. So remember, be strong and be courageous. Though I love these last words. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. You don't do it yourself. You don't have the capacity. We are only able because God is with us. And may we today remember that. Dearly beloved in the Lord, be strong and have good courage. We need that kind of passion and will and resolute mind today. The church needs you. We need men and women who are courageous and strong and obedient to the word. Will you be that woman? Will you be that man? Will you be that teen today? Will you? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement, for the rebukes, for the reminders. Oh, Lord, use your word that it will take root into our lives to change us to bear the Holy Spirit's fruits. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.